In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome to In Christ, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas, with pastor and teacher Ben Martinez.
There was truth in that lie. Jesus said, destroy this temple, but he never said with these hands. Now they're coming up going, well, this is what Jesus said. We have to be so careful. And one of the quotes I found is, the best lie is the one that has an element of truth. So it's good to include something real in your fiction, unquote. The best lie is to have an element of truth. Why? Because you swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Be careful, because there's a lot of things in our world today, and they have just enough truth where you swallow it, but don't realize that there's a lie.
Welcome back to our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. Last time we saw how pressure revealed fear, confusion, and abandonment as Jesus was arrested in the garden. Today we continue in Mark chapter 14, covering verses 53 through 72 in part 4 of the people's response to Jesus. Jesus stands before the religious council, surrounded by false accusations, mockery, and injustice. Yet, he remains calm and faithful, responding with truth and quiet authority. Meanwhile, Peter is nearby, but not close, following from a distance. As questions and accusations come his way, fear takes over, denying ever knowing Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times. And when the rooster crows, Peter realizes what he has done and breaks down in tears. And Jesus knew it would happen, yet he still loved Peter, still chose him, and would later restore him. Two responses unfold at the same time. Jesus remains faithful under injustice, while Peter collapses under fear. How we respond to Jesus often depends on how closely we're willing to stand with him. Distance makes compromise easier, and when pressure rises, closeness to Christ is what strengthens courage. Jesus is not shocked by our weakness. He meets us in it. As distance makes us vulnerable, grace draws us back. So if you've ever felt like Peter, afraid, ashamed, or distant, will you remember that Jesus is still calling you closer and not pushing you away? So if you can, grab your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 14, verses 53 through 72 in the People's Response to Jesus, part 4. Here's Pastor Ben.
In Christ, I have his righteousness. In Christ.
If you're here today and you're following at a distance, man, today's the day where he opens up and he says, come home. I'm not mad at you. Come on back. Well, earlier I asked you to circle that word for servants. It's going to be very, very interesting. I want to show you something, so hold on to that. But let me bring you up to speed. I want you to keep in mind that there were a total of 6 trials of Jesus. There were 6. You go, there were? Yeah, 3 of them were done at night, which made it illegal. You couldn't have trials in the night. But this is the start of the first Jewish trial right here. The first of the 3. Couldn't do this. Okay? He's going to have 3 Jewish trials, and he's going to have 3 Roman trials. So a total of 6. I mean, if you and I were watching this today, we'd be yelling at the TV, that's wrong, you can't do that, this is... Ah! Now notice, not only did this group reject him and his teachings, they wanted him dead. They wanted him dead. What a threat this Jesus is. Not only to do what, I mean, we don't want anything to do with him, but we actually want him dead. We want him dead. Can you imagine? These are people. And what blows my mind is this. If anyone should have seen and known who he was, it should have been these guys. Okay? May I present to you a condition they had that still people have today. You go, what's that? Their heart was so hardened that they missed him. They missed him. It's the same thing that happens today. People's heart are so hard that they miss him. And you go, hey, how many of you want to give your life to the Lord? And they're like, I'm good. Okay, so here we go. Look at verse 56. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. They want him so dead that they're starting to get these liars, man. He says, look at verse 57. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made with hands. But not even then did their testimony agree. Now, this is so key. This is very, I want to give you a godly principle here. Number one, if you have a pencil handy, underline verse 58. Here's why. Jesus never said with hands or without hands. This is what Jesus said in John 2:19. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. You guys got that? He never said with these hands or with, now these guys are coming in saying with these hands, and you go, well, what's the point? You ready? We have to be so careful that there was truth in that lie. There was truth in that lie. Jesus said, destroy this temple, but he never said with these hands. Now they're coming up going, well, this is what Jesus said. And one of the quotes I found is, the best lie is the one that has an element of truth. So it's good to include something real in your fiction, unquote. You go, what do you mean? The best lie is to have an element of truth. Why? Because you swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I mean, think about this, right? Think about this. Think about fishing. What do you cruel people do to those fish? You get a hook and you cover it with food. And there you go, right? You're deceiving those fish. Those fish go, oh, here's truth, until they swallow it, and then what? Then they have the hook, right? And then they're on your pan. And you're frying them up, a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper. Be careful, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot of things in our world today. Movies, series, little, you know, they're labeled Christian, and they have just enough truth where you swallow it, but don't realize that there's a lie. And you're basing your walk on what somebody is showing you on TV. Man, I've almost had knockout, drag-out fights with people who are telling me, no, this Christian movie, this Christian series, this is Jesus for real. I'm like, no. Be careful. Because if you're not strong enough to discern what's actually being taught, and I get it, there are some that go, hey, look, this is fiction only. I mean, think about this. Think about the Ten Commandments, right? Think about that with Charlton Heston and Yul Brynner. Think about that. That's a love story. They pulled a lot of stuff out of the Bible, but it's a love. I mean, it's like, oh, Moses, you know, and you're just like, oh, I will not have my queen come between me and the. I mean, it's just all like, and you're just like, okay, get to the plagues, man. Get to the parting of the Red Sea. That's cool. But think about people building their theology based on that. No, we build our theology based on God's word. Why? Because there's a group of people who will come to you on Saturday morning and they'll say, hi, we'd just like to share with you what's going on in the world. And you go, hey, man, what's going on in the world? And so when you get into the thick of it, here's how it goes down. They'll pull up John 1:1 and they'll say this, in the beginning was the word. And you're like, and the word was with God. And they say, and the word was a God. That's 99% true. But one little A changes it and makes it poison, doesn't it? On our way to Amarillo, we saw a billboard. We come up Amarillo, and this is Bible Belt country. We see this big billboard that said Jesus is not God, and I'm like, what? It's Amarillo. Everybody saved in Amarillo. What? And so I asked Natalie, look that up, and it seemed like a Christian organization, but they really felt like Jesus. Do you realize the implication of that? Jesus isn't God. Okay, I digress. They're trying to find, but they can't, right? They can't even agree on the line. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What is this that these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent and answered nothing. And the high priest asked him again, saying, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus answered, I am. Notice the period. It's the I am. He's the I am. What do you mean? That's the title that God has, the I am. Jesus is God, right? No, Jesus never said he was God. No, he just said it right here. So take your billboard down. It's right here. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes in mourning and said, what further do we need of witnesses? Right? We don't need any false witnesses. He said it himself. You've heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. And some began to, notice, spit on him. What a big sign of disrespect. And then others blindfolded him and beat him. And they said to him, prophesy. Notice, and the, what's that word, church? Help me. And the officers struck him with the palm of their hands. You go, what does that mean? Okay, so before we jump into Peter's response, I want you to note this word officers. Circle it and then put a little line over. Why? I noticed it's the same Greek word that's used for servants in verse 54. You go, what? Same exact word. See, when you and I see servants, we think that Peter was warming himself with maybe servant girls and those who worked around Caiaphas' house, and maybe the gardener was there going, well, I didn't get all the weeds done, so here I am. But it's the word, there were. It implies that there were officers that were warming themselves at the fire where Peter was. It's the same word right here that these officers of the high priest slapped Jesus. Slapped Jesus. You go, what does that mean? Pete was hanging around the officers of the religious leaders. Pete, what are you doing? What are you doing, bro? Well, let's see what Pete does. Verse 66. Now, Peter was below in the courtyard, and one of the, well, Ben, there's that word, servant. Well, this is not the same word. This actually means maid. This is a servant girl of the high priest. So there she is. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. Look at Pete. Right here, Pete should have stood up and been like, that's right. You want some of this? No, he didn't say that. What does he say? And Peter denied it. I neither know nor understand what you are saying. It's almost like, you remember when you were a kid and you'd be like, la, 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 not listening. That's like, he's not Pete, Pete. And he went out of the porch and the rooster crowed. And the servant, there it is, the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by Peter again said, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean and your speech shows it. Isn't that funny? It's the same today. You go, what do you mean? Guys, our speech gives it away, doesn't it? It gives it away. Every state has a different speech. You understand that, okay? Different. Like, we're from Santa Fe, northern New Mexico. They talk different. That as soon as we go back, my wife starts talking like them. And it's true. I mean, you would know where we're from because they say things and you're like, oh, okay. Or let me put it this way. You know somebody's from Boston when you hear them, right? They have a different dialect. So if you're sitting there and you go, the Messiah's from Boston, you talk like him. We say water, you say water, you know, whatever it is. I'm not Boston, so I don't know how to do this. But you understand the dialect. And so the servant girl's like, we were listening to you. You're a Galilean. Three times the Lord got Peter to come clean, but he was afraid. You ready? Here's a great principle before we go on. Peter right here was afraid of man more than he was of God. Oh, what is man going to do to me? And I get that. Guys, I get that. There are times we don't say anything and the Lord's prompting us to, okay, stand up. And maybe you're at a job interview and they ask, are you a born-again Christian? I don't think they can ask that, but they imply it and you don't say anything because you're afraid you won't get the job if he thinks you're radical for Jesus. There's just a lot of stuff. So what does Pete do? What does Pete do? Verse 71. Then he began to curse and swear. The implication here is he wasn't saying bad words, but the curse was something like, may the Lord strike me dead if I'm lying, that kind of curse, you know, or may the thunder, I mean, just, and he says, I do not know this man whom you speak. And a second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him, before the rooster crows, Pete, twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. He wept. So what have we learned here this morning? We've learned this morning very serious thing. You go, what's that? Men who were religious who did not receive the Lord Jesus rejected him and his teachings. It's very serious. No, thank you. I'm good. We can also apply this to Peter to our lives. And you go, well, how so? Well, maybe, church, you haven't rejected him like Peter. Maybe there hasn't been a time where you've rejected and said, I don't know the man, I don't know the man, I don't know the man, leave me alone, I don't know the man. But maybe there are times when you and I'm with you in this, have denied him. We have. We've followed him a lot farther than we should have. But that's not a condemning statement. It's a convicting one where the Lord says, come home, come back, come back. Let me say this. It's hard to believe the Lord Jesus misses the quiet times that you used to have with him. I know you miss it, but do you know he misses it? He misses you. And he says, hey, remember we used to get up and have coffee together? Remember? We used to get up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning, we'd have coffee. I've missed that. Well, I know, Lord, but I'm busy. I got stuff to do. And man, it's a rough night or whatever. I get that, but I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be waiting. And he misses you. Our Jesus is complete in every sense of the word. He doesn't need us. He just misses us. He loves the fellowship. He loves when you pray. He loves when you talk to him. He loves when you gather together here as saints. He loves when you encourage people. He's right there in the midst of us. He loves that. It's wonderful to be in church on Sunday morning. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's wonderful to be in church on a Wednesday night. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But so much wonderful when you take your daily walk with him. Morning, night, whatever it might be. Can I challenge you? Do me a favor. This week, take a walk, just you and Jesus. Just you and Jesus. Walk around the park. Walk to your mailbox. I don't care what it might be. Just walk with him. And just put your phone in your pocket, because we have a tendency to be like, oh, okay, let me see how many steps I walked. And leave it at home. Just walk. Lord, I'm here. Let's go for a walk. And spiritually, take your spiritual hand and just hold his. Let's go for a walk. Just do it. See what God will do. See what God will do. Okay, last thought, because we got to get to communion. I understand in the world we live in today, many people won't give their hearts to Jesus. I get that. Many people that I've witnessed to, many people that you've witnessed to, there's no thank you, I'm good, whatever, for whatever reason. So as I thought about it this week, I believe the Lord showed me a very subtle way that we reject him as Christians. You go, we did? Yeah. As I prayed through the text, I knew it could be an evangelistic message. I could say something like, hey, if you don't know Jesus, my plea to you is don't reject him. And I could bring up Hebrews chapter 2, 1 through 3, where it says this. So we must listen carefully to the truth that we've heard, or we may drift away from him. There's Pete. For if the law spoken through the angels had already been true, and the people have already been punished for disobeying them, what makes us think we can escape if we are indifferent to the great salvation announced by the Lord Jesus himself and passed on to us by those who heard him speak? Here's what Hebrews is saying. He's going, hey, listen, if we think, the angels, it always been true and people had always been punished by disobedience. What makes us think if we're going to start to drift? And I'll come over here and I might plead with you. And I might say, if you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, today's the day. And I would say, don't reject him. Open up your heart and come back to him. I think about this, guys. When I think of the list that we talked about earlier, I don't want to come to Jesus because of my lifestyle. Jesus never asks you to give up anything. But when a heart is transformed, we're willing to pursue him at all costs. Jesus never says you need to give up your finances, you need to give money to the church. No, listen, it all belongs to him anyway. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He's the one who supplies it all. Or maybe you're here and you're like me, and maybe your religion is holding you back, but I've got to draw your attention to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, there were many religious people who said, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? And you know what Jesus said? Depart from me. I never knew you. So I can't be saved based on my religion. So you go, Ben, what do I do? What do I do with this text if I'm a believer? Well, notice what Hebrews teaches us. One way we seem to reject or deny him is not by listening to the word or the truth of the word. In other words, this you start to go, oh, this message is for someone else. Yay, I hope my husband's listening. I hope my wife's listening. Or when you and I read the text, but we never allow the text to read us. So important. Because the purpose of Calvary Chapel, guys, this morning is to bring us a place where we can grow, where we can grow. That's the whole purpose, to learn and go, okay, this is what I need to do with my life. And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Now, as we close our Bible study, we're going to take a moment. Here's what I want to do. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity real quick just to say yes. Maybe you're here today and you're following at a distance. You're following at a distance, and God, through the message, has been knocking on your heart, and he's saying, hey, today's the day. As I look out in this church, I see everybody. I know pretty much everybody, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do the work. Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus. Today's the day. Today's the day. If you're here today and you want to be right with God, it's going to take a commitment from you. Not to do something, but just to surrender. I promise, if you surrender your life today and you pray a prayer and you pray with me, we're going to pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word and the truth in your word. Father, we love you. Father, I want to take a moment, Lord, to pray for all that are here today, those that are watching online, those that are listening via podcast or even the radio. I'm praying right now. I pray they would surrender their heart to you. With every eyes closed, every head bowed, is there anyone this morning that you would say, Pastor Ben, I think you were talking about, I feel something in my heart. I was listening to the message, and I'm just like, man, I don't know if I'm right with you, but I want to be. And I don't think it's a mistake that I'm here. I needed to hear this, and I want to be right with you. I want to be right with you. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to do something brave. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand so I can pray for you. Everybody else has got their eye closed and their head bowed, but I'm asking you to lift your hand so you can just be right with God. And I will acknowledge and pray for you. If you're here today and you've been drifting, you're not right with God, you're ready, would you just lift up your hand and say, Pastor Ben, pray for me? I'm ready to make that commitment to Jesus. Would you do that right now? Just lift up your hand nice and high. Father, I thank you today, just in the presence that you're here and that your spirit is just moving. Maybe somebody here feels just a little bit farther from you. I pray for them. I pray that as they receive the communion elements, that they would just take some time to do some work for you. We thank you for your word. And so, Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. In Christ.
That was Pastor Ben Martinez in the Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. As Pastor Ben reiterates time after time, the message of Mark's Gospel is captured in a single verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Chapters 10, verse 45. Chapter by chapter, the book unfolds the dual focus of Christ's life, service and sacrifice. Mark portrays Jesus as a servant on the move, instantly responsive to the will of the Father. By preaching, teaching, and healing, he ministers to the needs of others, even to the point of death. After the resurrection, he commissions his followers to continue his work in his power, servants following in the steps of the perfect servant. As we walk through this gospel together, may we be challenged to follow Jesus with boldness, serve with humility, and proclaim the good news with passion. So join us next time as we continue in the Gospel of Mark.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com.
There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.
In Christ, I have His righteousness. In Christ, I have what I